Grow your ability to love. Moving beyond motivation to capacity. Love isn't a personality trait, a motivation, or even a moral checkbox. It is a capacity. If we view love as a finite resource we have to manufacture from our own reserves, we will eventually run dry. To grow in our ability to love, we have to stop trying to be the generator and start learning to be the receiver. How can we learn to be more loving? Here are 5 ideas to help understand how love works. 1. God is love. God is our example. As we know God and experience His love, we grow in ability to love. Imitation is key. As we imitate God, we are more loving. 2. Fear is an opposing force. We can't be afraid and love well at the same time. 3. Ignorance is a barrier. We can't be ignorant of people and love them well at the same time. We must begin to see people as God sees them, even as we see them as they are today. 4. The Spirit is the personalizer. He lives inside of you and makes love real to you as He applies it to you. Regeneration is required. Only those who have God living in them can imitate God's love. 5. You must know who you are and know your value before you can love well. Let's explore each of these in more detail. 1. The power source. We can't manufacture love. We often treat love like a muscle we need to flex, but the Bible describes it more like a solar panel. A solar panel does not create light, it absorbs it, converts it, and reflects it. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 tells us the mechanical order of operations for the human heart. We love because He first loved us. This isn't just a warm sentiment. It is a statement of physics. Our ability to love is directly proportional to our ability to receive love. Many people struggle to love others because they have a reception problem, not a motivation problem. If you feel motivated but are not loving well, you are like a solar panel in the shade, trying to power a house with a battery that hasn't been fully charged. As we know God, we grow in our ability to love because we are finally standing in the light long enough to be changed by it. 2. The fear barrier. Self-protection kills compassion. You cannot be afraid and love well at the same time. Fear and love are opposites in the economy of the soul. Fear is about self-protection. Love is about self-giving. When we are in survival mode, worrying about our reputation, our safety, or our judgment day, our focus is naturally inward. We are too busy guarding our own borders to notice the needs of our neighbors. But 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says that perfect love expels all fear. As we trust that our future is fixed and our identity is secure in Christ, the need for self-protection dissipates. As we feel safe enough, we can risk being vulnerable. Growth in love requires the confidence that we are already cared for, which frees us to stop looking in the mirror and start looking out the window. 3. Seeing as God sees, moving past ignorance. We cannot love people well if we remain ignorant of who they truly are. True love requires active intelligence. It's easy to love an abstract idea of humanity, but it is much harder to love the actual person standing in front of you with their well-intentioned messes and clutter. To love like God loves, we must imitate His mastery of observation. God doesn't love us in a general sense. He loves us specifically. He knows our history, our dead ends, and the music of our unique identity. Becoming more loving means growing in our ability to listen. It means putting down our assumptions and asking God to show us the signal in other people that is currently being drowned out by their noise. 4. The will versus the feeling. Guardrails and driving lessons. This is where it gets challenging. When we hear the command to love, we often recoil. If I'm doing it because I'm told to, isn't it fake? We ask. We don't want to love only on the outside. We want to feel the power of God moving deep within us. Think of the command to love not as a forced performance, but as guardrails. The command keeps you on the road and prevents you from driving off a cliff of bitterness or isolation. But within those guardrails, there is more than enough room for God to give you driving lessons. The standard of love is high, so we need all the help we can get. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Sometimes we have to turn the steering wheel of our will before the engine of our emotions catches up. Choosing to treat someone well when you don't feel like it isn't being fake, it's being faithful. It's part of the training. It is an act of trust that says, God, I am acting on your character because mine is off target. Often, the feeling of love is the reward for the act of love, not the prerequisite for it. 5. The value of the sacrifice, knowing what you are giving. Real love is sacrificial. But here is a psychological truth we often overlook. You must know your value before you can sacrifice it. If you believe you are worthless, then giving yourself away isn't a sacrifice. It's a clearance sale. It is a form of codependency, not Christ-like love. Jesus was able to lay down his life because he knew exactly who he was and where he was going. To grow in love, you must first do the hard work of understanding your value as a child of God. When you know you are a package of fixed mastery and fixed hope, your acts of service move from being a search for validation to being a genuine gift. You aren't giving because you are empty and need a thank you to fill the void. You are giving because you are so full that the overflow is inevitable. The Practical Laboratory. Read the text from 1 John. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in His love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face Him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. We love each other because He loved us first. If someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And He has given us this command. Those who love God must also love their fellow believers. 1 John chapter 4, verses 15 to 21, NLT. If you want to test your progress, look at the person you find most difficult to love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 gives us a stinging reality check. If someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. The people in our lives are the gym where our love for God is exercised. We don't grow in love by retreating to a mountaintop. We grow in love in the friction of who God has placed into our lives. Task for today. Identify one person you have been ignorant of. Instead of trying to manufacture love for them, ask God to show you one specific piece of their mastery or their struggle. Use the guardrail of kindness to move toward them and wait for the Spirit to provide the power as you walk. Perhaps that one person is yourself. If you struggle to know and feel your value, focus on being a solar panel instead of trying to be the sunlight. Learn more about this and other topics relevant to Christian healing and growth at ChristianConcepts.com.